Oh my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody, stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Wait.
Everybody, calm down.
Everybody, panic! Oh my God! There's a bear loose in the Coliseum.
That was an overreaction.
Hey Mariners fans, welcome to the Soto Mojo podcast. Man, this is a really tough way to open the show. I'm sure you guys have all heard by now, but just in case you've been living under a rock, Shohei Ohtani will not be a Seattle Mariner. He will in fact be playing for the, for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, that crappy franchise. But anyways, we are here to talk about that and some other things that are happening in Mariners baseball. And joining us today is Soto Mojo contributor Dan Clark. Dan, you just mentioned to me that you just woke up to the news, 5-10 minutes after it broke. And that was how you started your morning. So why don't you go ahead and tell us how you're feeling right now about the Mariners missing out on Shohei Ohtani.
Hi, Cody. How are you, mate? Yeah, mate.
Been better.
It's currently 5 to 8 on a Saturday morning in Australia on the East Coast. I woke up to my phone going absolutely ballistic about, it would have been an hour and a half ago now. And honestly, when I first picked it up, I wasn't sure if I was dreaming or not. I thought, this has to be a nightmare. The Angels, I don't understand it. And I suppose the big wild card in this is, like, everybody, even from the start, was saying the Yankees and the Mariners were going to be the favorites. But nobody knew what Ohtani was going to do. And even afterwards, like, I don't think anybody really gave the Angels much of a chance, even when they were down to the last 7 teams. And it's just, nobody knew what Ohtani was going to do. I have no idea what the Angels told him in that meeting, but he must have spun some really, really good words to make him go to Anaheim. I've been to Anaheim a couple of times, and I'm not sure if you want to live there, but hey, whatever works for him, I suppose.
Yeah, it's certainly tough to, we're never going to know where the Mariners went wrong or if they went wrong at all. We weren't in the meetings. We don't know. We don't know what Ohtani was looking for. Whatever it was, he thought he found it in the Angels. It's a bummer because it's a division rival. But I will say that as far as that goes, the Angels are still worse than the Mariners, believe it or not. The Mariners have a more talented roster. I know nobody wants to hear that right now because all they're thinking about is Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani playing together, which admittedly sucks. But, it is what it is. I agree with you. I think it was certainly a surprise for me. If I had to rank the top 7, I think the Angels probably would have been 6th, maybe, just ahead of the Cubs.
That's basically what I was thinking. I was thinking Seattle, San Diego, the Giants were the top 3. And then probably the Dodgers, the Rangers, sort of really close behind, and then the Angels and the Cubs. It is what it is. I think you've been sort of putting it out on the Soto Mojo Twitter a few times. I don't think it's going to make or break the Mariners off-season. Like, sure, everybody would have loved to have Ohtani because the Mariners are currently, I suppose, stuck in the middle there each and every year, and this would have pushed them a lot closer to the postseason and sort of further on. But like you said, I think the Mariners have still got a lot better current roster than the Angels.
Yeah, I have no problem with people being bummed with the Ohtani thing. I'm bummed. You know, I was really looking forward to it. You know, in the back of my head, I was very guarded about this whole thing. I didn't want to just be like, oh, they're getting Ohtani and that be that. Mainly because I just did not know what Ohtani was looking for. You know, there were all kinds of reports of what he was wanting, but we don't know. He's a 23-year-old kid. He's coming over to America for the first time. So everything we were talking about is it's all just speculation. We don't know. So I was always trying to just stay guarded for that possibility. You know, honestly, if he had signed with the Giants or the Padres or whatever, I would have been disappointed, but I wouldn't have been nearly as upset as I am now. Just, you know, it's the Angels. I hate the Angels. I hate Mike Scioscia. You know, the only good thing about the Angels is Mike Trout. And now I guess
Exactly.
Shohei Ohtani. So it's
Exactly.
unfortunate that I have to care about the Angels, but I'm certainly going to. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm not still interested to see what Ohtani can become.
Yeah, that's right. And I was speaking to my fiance Emily yesterday, actually, and we were sort of saying about Ohtani and all that sort of stuff. And I remember saying a few days ago, if he went to 28 of the 30 teams, I would root for pretty hard for Ohtani, even if it wasn't for the Mariners. If it was Padres or the Giants or the Dodgers, I'd be still rooting for him because he could be that once in a generation sort of type player and change. He could basically change the game with being a two-way player. The only two teams I didn't want Ohtani to go to is the Yankees, like basically everybody else. And the Angels. So, yeah, like you said, we're disappointed, but I think just him going to the Angels just makes basically every Mariners fan ropeable. But yeah, you can do what you can do, and like you said, we've got to be a lot smarter, and unless we want to sort of still sit in that middle, which I think the Angels are still sort of in the middle. It'll be interesting to see what their next move is. If they go, right, now we've got Ohtani, we've already signed Justin Upton to an upgraded deal, we're going to go all in and go big. So I'm pretty sure Josh Hamilton's contracts are off the books now as well. So they could go absolutely ballistic in this free agent class. And there's limited starting pitching, but they could sort of go get two or three really big names. But yeah, it's interesting to sort of see where it all sits, and I think it's a bit of a bookmark for Jerry Depoto. I think now that he's missed out on Ohtani, he can go, right, it starts from here. We either go all in or we just sort of plod along and tear it down in a little while. But yeah, I'm really interested to see where DePoto goes from here.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. A while back on Twitter, I retweeted a tweet from David Skiba, who's part of Dome and Bedlam and formerly of Lookout Landing. He had a really good point on this. He tweeted, "This is Jerry DePoto's defining moment as the GM of the Seattle Mariners, not losing the Ohtani sweepstakes, but what he does next." And it's really hard to disagree with that. I mean, there's 29 other teams that lost the Ohtani sweepstakes. And, you know, Jerry DePoto was certainly one of the most aggressive bidders. And I think that's probably a pretty good place to transition to, you know, all the things that Jerry DePoto tried to do to get Ohtani to come here, including some big trades, in which my addition skills are correct, and they're probably not, added up to $3.25 million they added in that international slot money over the last 4 months to try and get Ohtani to come here. In the end, it didn't work, but does that mean, in your opinion, does that mean that the deals were failures? What do you think?
No, I don't think they were failures. I know a lot of people on Mariners Twitter, which is going absolutely ballistic at the moment, were blowing up about all the prospects that we gave away. And I was listening to Jason Churchill's Prospect Insider podcast out the other day, and he was sort of spot on when he said, just because the guys are ranked highly doesn't mean they're sort of good overall prospects. Like a number 10 prospect in the Mariners system, he's in some of the other MLB systems, it's not even going to reach in the top 30. Mm-hmm. So just because they're sort of ranked really highly, Nick Knight, he was sort of like a solid prospect, but his ceiling wasn't sort of ever going to be that ace or that top one or two. I think his ceiling was probably, I might even be a little bit low on him, but I think his ceiling might have been like a number four starting pitcher in the big. So, like, I can't bash Jerry at all for what he did. Like, I love a GM that goes out and takes the risks. And Jerry's going to come out in the next day or so and go, look, we gave Ohtani absolutely everything we could. And that's all you can really say for him. Like, all the people bashing Jerry DePoto on Twitter this morning, it was just, it wasn't right, basically. You can't bash Jerry for what he did. He must have thought he had a legit shot to get a player that can change our whole franchise and the future of our franchise. Did it work? No, it didn't. But I don't think he gave up all that much. I'm probably higher on Torres that we gave up in the D. Gordon deal than probably Nick Knight it.
Yeah, it's I'm right there with you. Just to kind of put a bow on all of this for now. In the last, I believe it's a little bit more than 100 days. This all kicks off originally with them trading Raider Ascanio, who might make it to the big leagues for a few years as a utility guy. That's a big if. They traded him for Mike Leake in $750,000. In international slot money. They traded Thiago Vieira for $500,000 in slot money. That's a guy with a great fastball and not much else. They traded David Banuelos for $1 million in international slot money. That's a career backup catcher. One that I like. He's a really good defensive catcher. I'm not sure if he's going to hit enough to be an everyday guy, but he's a decent player. But you got $1 million for him. And then, of course, you get the big deal yesterday. You get D. Gordon and $1 million for a slew of prospects, including Chris Torres and Nick Neidert. So what you gave up, you also added Mike Leake, who right now is your number three starting pitcher, and a pretty good one at that. And you got D. Gordon, who's going to be your starting center fielder and probably your leadoff hitter. So, to all the people who say that this was a complete waste and Jerry destroyed the farm system, there was nothing to destroy. The Mariners farm system was bad when he got here. It's bad now. And, yeah, you know what? He gave up Nick Neidert, who is a name that most people have heard of. But you know what he got for Nick Neidert? He got D. Gordon. I mean, it's not like he traded him for $1 million straight up. He got a starting caliber all-star. D. Gordon was an all-star last year who stole 60 bases. He can play second. He can play short. We're going to see if he can play center, but his athleticism certainly makes it look like he can be at least a good center fielder, if not a great one. And he gave up prospects who are, like in most systems, Nick Neidert is the number 10 prospect in that system. You know, Chris Torres is probably, you know, somewhere in that 15 to 18 range in most systems. So to sit here and say that Jerry DePoto has absolutely destroyed the Mariners farm system, it's not true at all. He's added Kyle Lewis. He's added Evan White. He's added Sam Carlson. And by the way, he's added Mitch Haniger, Gene Segura, Ben Gamel, Guillermo Heredia, Ryan Healy. These are all guys, D. Gordon. These are all guys who are under 30 and are going to be with the Mariners for at least 3 or 4 years. So if you're in that camp that says Jerry DePoto has destroyed the Mariners, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. This is a risk you absolutely take. And by the way, the deals are still incomplete because we don't know what he's going to go spend that money on now. If he goes and gets three of the top 30 prospects remaining, your farm system's probably better off. I mean, granted, they're going to be further away from helping you than Nick Neidert was. But you look at the prospects that DePoto gave up, other than Vieira and Neidert, the other three were maybe major leaguers in 3 years. You got better today because of the deals that he made. And so, you know, I guess that'll be the end of my rant. But it really does drive me nuts that people out there are saying that Jerry DePoto has destroyed the Mariners farm system for nothing. It wasn't for nothing. He got you a number four starting pitcher and an all-star base stealer and potential center fielder or second baseman of the future. So he didn't get nothing for the guys he gave up. I actually think he did very well. And like you said, I really like a general manager who says, this is what I want. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get it. He's creative. He works with what he has. And the Mariners have gotten better this week, whether you like to admit it or not. So that'll end my rant. But yeah, Jerry DePoto has not made the Mariners worse since he's got here. He's made the major league team much better, and the minor league system is at best a little bit worse. So that's the end of my rant. But
no, I'm exactly right there with you. Yeah, DePoto has done nothing to sort of decimate the farm when it comes to guys that are going to be legit MLB everyday players. So
yeah, I think the only trade that he made, and this trade didn't even have anything to do with Ohtani, I just think it was an error in judgment, is trading Tyler O'Neill for Marco Gonzalez. I didn't like it then, I don't like it now, but you know what? Every GMs are going to make bad trades. Jerry DePoto certainly made a few other bad trades, but these deals he made to try and get Ohtani, they were absolutely worth the risk. And now we'll just wait and see what he can bring in with the money. He's going to spend that money still. And if he goes and he gets Julio Pablo Martinez, or he gets Candelario, who's a guy he's been linked to in the past, those guys are going to slide into the Mariners' top 10 prospects right away. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Now, in my long rant, I mentioned D. Gordon. So that's the other big Mariner news. The Mariners acquired D. Gordon yesterday for Nick Neidert, as you mentioned, Christopher Torres, as you also mentioned, and Robert Duggar, I think his first name is Robert. It's Duggar,
yes.
I know that.
Yeah.
And the idea is that D. Gordon is going to be playing center field for the Seattle Mariners. So let's start with this. Dan, when you first saw the news, what was your initial reaction?
When I first saw the news, I got a message from a mate of mine, Jake, down under. All it said was, Dan, ?? And I had to sort of flick up through other notifications, and I was like, I basically said, without using the exact words, I said, WTF. I don't really understand it. But this was pretty fresh in the news cycle, I think. I think it had sort of, Ken Rosenthal had just broken the story. But sort of after hearing DePoto's comments and hearing Dick Gordon's comments within the next 15, 20, 25 minutes, I was like, okay, if that's the plan for him, I like it. I love it. I love D. Gordon's speed. If he can play the center field, and I actually listened to an interview that he was doing with 710 ESPN. I think it was Danny David Moore yesterday afternoon. And they were talking to him about he's already reached out to guys like Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Cameron just for advice on how to play center field in Safeco. And halfway through the interview, as D. Gordon called in, Mr. Griffey actually called him, which is pretty cool. Hey, he's not going to be able to slot in there straight away and play perfect defense. It's going to take time. But with his athleticism, I really like it. And having him at the top of the lineup, like, that just it basically gives you, within the top two guys, if they stay healthy all year, between him and Segura, they're going to give you close to 400 hits during the year, just between the two of them. And that's got to be good for Cano, Cruz, Seager, Healy, Haniger, the guys that are following him. So after the first initial shock of going, geez, we just traded for D. Gordon. Wait, D. Gordon's the middle infielder. We've got Cano at second, Segura at short. What are we doing? And then hearing DePoto's plan, you go, you know what? I'll do that deal any day of the week. And I know a lot of other people sort of said this on Twitter there yesterday as well. And I'm right there with them. D. Gordon holds probably one of my top two or three moments that I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. That doesn't include a Mariners one. Him hitting that home run on the second pitch he saw after Jose Fernandez's passing. Like, I watch that video still to this day, and I get goosebumps and tears. It's just like D. Gordon's not a home run hitter. He had to have help from somewhere above for that, and it just gives me goosebumps every time I watch it.
Yeah, it truly was an incredible moment. I'm right there with you on that. My initial reaction yesterday when I heard about the D. Gordon news is I actually had to call my friend, TJ, to try and talk it out. And it took me 20 minutes before I was even able to actually, you know, look at Twitter and see what people were saying. Because the second I got that notification, I just started calling people to see what the heck was happening. and my initial thought was, you know, D. Gordon's a really good second baseman. Are they moving Robinson Cano to first? I mean, and then I thought, well, what are they going to do with Healy? Is Healy going to be the third baseman? Are they trading Kyle Seager? And all those thoughts ran through my head. And then ultimately, you know, it comes out that he's going to be the center fielder. Which, you know, it was a little bit puzzling to me, just because, you know, you put such a premium on defense in the outfield, and having a guy who's never played there before, you know, now he's going to play 120 games there. That took some adjusting, but when you look at the price of Nick Neidert and Christopher Torres is at least 2 or 3 years away. Neidert's probably a year away, but like you said, I think his absolute ceiling is Mike Leake, which is, you know, it's a nice pitcher, don't get me wrong, but D. Gordon helps you now. The slot money was nice. It turned out to not matter in terms of the Ohtani thing, but after the initial shock and kind of sitting there and digesting it, you know, having D. Gordon on your roster and in the top of your lineup, probably he'll hit leadoff. I mean, that's exciting. And there's no doubt the Mariners got better yesterday. They got better than where they were at the end of the year. You know, I was pretty on board with the whole Jerod Dyson in center field thing. And basically what the Mariners did is they upgraded the offense in center for a downgrade in defense in center. And you still have, you know, you still have Guillermo Heredia who can go out there in the late innings. You know, you still have Mitch Haniger who's okay out there. I think one of the underrated kind of aspects of this D. Gordon trade is that the guy's a really good second baseman, and he is a legitimate backup shortstop. He can play a pretty decent shortstop for you if Segura goes down, which really helps to something that you've been talking about all offseason, and that is the idea of an 8-man bullpen. Which means only 3 guys on the bench. Having D. Gordon, who can play up the middle, and if he can play center, he can play any of the 2 corner outfield spots too. I think that adds a layer of versatility on top of everything else that the Mariners have. So at the end of the day, I really, really like this trade, and I think I like it more today than I did yesterday. And I'll probably like it more tomorrow than I do today, just, you know, because of the Ohtani news. But I'm right there with you. I really like what this does for the Mariners. So are you concerned at all about his ability to play center field, or do you think he'll pick it up pretty quick?
I'm not too concerned. Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. But if, and I think I saw somewhere as well with Jerry DePoto's comments saying they're not going to bounce him around. They're going to basically leave him in center to get acclimatized to it. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make bad reads for the first however long. But I think his athleticism and his pure speed that he's going to have out there, a lot of those bad reads, he's still going to chase the ball down and we're never going to know. But yeah, like I said, even with a few bad reads and stuff like that, his speed is going to be enough and good enough to basically get most of the balls that probably 80% of the other center fielders are going to get anyway. So yeah, I'm not too concerned. And hey, if Junior wants to ring him and start working with him straight away, hey, that's always going to be a good thing. So I think one of the comments that he made while on 710 there yesterday was he's actually done a bit of training with Trey Griffey, Ken Griffey Jr.'s son, just like a bit of workouts and stuff like that. So, hey, if he's got that connection, that's only going to be a good thing.
Yep, it certainly would be. The I just got a tweet on Twitter and it made me laugh. Somebody tweeted that, hey, you know what? Adding Giancarlo Stanton would make this whole thing a lot better for the Mariners.
So, yes, it would, but yeah, I don't think that's going to quite happen.
No, that's not going to happen. But yeah, you know, it was interesting. I kind of got into a little Twitter debate yesterday about where D. Gordon would hit in the lineup. I personally would hit him ninth, which sounds counterintuitive because, you know, he's your prototypical leadoff hitter. But I would actually hit him ninth so that when the order rolls around, I get, you know, I get D. Gordon, and then I get Gene Segura, and then I get Mitch Haniger. I really like Haniger in that number two spot. But it sounds like the Mariners want to go with Gordon in the leadoff spot, Segura hitting two, then Cano, Cruz, Seager. I'm guessing Healy will hit six, and then seven is going to be Haniger, maybe. And again, it sets up a nice left-right type of switch there. And, you know, it's just exciting to see the Mariners get a guy who, you know, when's the last time the Mariners had, like, a great base stealer for an entire season? I mean, Dyson was great last year, but he didn't last the entire season. And I think he ended up with, what, 28 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was pretty close to 30. But, yeah, like you said, I think in the last 3 years he's averaged 60 stolen bases. So behind Billy Hamilton, there's nobody that's stolen more bases in the last three or four years. So,
and yeah. We all remember what a pain base running was last year, so this certainly helps.
Yeah, exactly. And if you, it's not just, I suppose, stealing bases too. It's going first to third on a single to right field, or going first to home on a double. Just things like that. I think it's going to be, it's just going to help out a lot with that speed. Like, if you've got him and Segura in either 9 and 1 or 1 and 2, like, Cano is more of a doubles hitter anyway. So, if those two are on first and second and Cano's up, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to score 2 runs, whereas most of the other times it's only going to be 1. So, I think his all-round speed for stealing bases and base running is going to, it's going to help the Mariners tenfold.
Yep, I would tend to agree with that. So we've talked about Shohei Ohtani and that disappointment. We talked about the excitement of D. Gordon. I guess the next thing is, and just kind of the last thing is, where do the Mariners go from here? They've added their first baseman. They've added their center fielder. The winter meetings start on Monday. I think they technically start, I think everybody gets in on Sunday, but they don't officially start till Monday. So what do the Mariners do over the next week to kind of just help with what, you know, is a pretty big loss and not signing Ohtani? Where do the Mariners go next?
Pitching. In one word, pitching. They've sort of, with getting rid of Vieira and Pagan and guys like that, they need probably at least two or three relief pitchers. And in a perfect world, they need two starters as well. Because at the moment, your fourth and fifth guys are probably Erasmo and Marcus Gonzalez because he's out of options. So, yeah, they need pitching. And, hey, you miss out on Ohtani. Why not go out and get his fellow countryman, Darvish? That's going to be a good start. I still think they need one of those guys at the top of the rotation to give him a bit more punch, because you've still got Felix and Paxton at the top of that rotation, and they're, as we saw this year, their arms, I don't know if they're just hanging on or whatnot, but you need someone who's going to go out there and give you innings, and you want quality innings at the top of the rotation. Like, we've got guys that can give you innings, like Andrew Moore and Andrew Albers, and like I said, Marco Gonzalez. But, yeah, we need, if we want to compete, especially now that Ohtani's signed with the Angels, it just makes everything harder. And like we said, like you said, with David Skiba from Dome and Bedlam saying, this is going to be interesting to work out where Jerry goes from here. This is going to be his defining moment. And I hope the Mariners owners and their front office go, right, if we want to compete, we need to loosen the purse strings. We need one or two good relievers and another solid reliever, and we need a top of the rotation guy.
Yep. Unfortunately, there's not really much out there. Like you mentioned, Darvish. They haven't been linked to Arrieta at all, so I don't really feel like that's a possibility. Although, to be fair, they haven't really been linked to anybody but Ohtani this year.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
And, you know, the Mariners are very as open as Jerry DePoto is with, I mean, the guy has his own podcast. He's the general manager of a Major League Baseball team with a podcast.
Exactly. And just
nobody
quickly,
else does
how
that.
Cool is that? Like,
that is incredibly cool. It's,
yeah.
The Mariners always do these little things that remind me, oh, yeah, that's why I root for you guys. You know,
that's exactly right.
I'm always and on like, the brink, and I'm like, how the hell can I root for this team again? And then they do something. I go, oh, yep, that's why.
Exactly. And, like, how cool is it to listen to a podcast where your GM is, as Aaron Goldsmith says, nerding out about spin rate and things like that on his own podcast for all his fans to hear? So as soon as they started doing that, that was one of the coolest things I think the Mariners have done.
Yeah, it really is incredibly cool. Back to the discussion here. Insanely cool, though. I want to make sure I get that very clear.
My bad.
No, that's fine. It's a point worth making. The Mariners are actually pretty quiet. Like, nobody had a whiff of this D. Gordon thing until it broke. That's kind of one of the weird things here. You don't really see a lot of, you know, sources link the Mariners to this guy or this guy. They just kind of, when they make their moves, they just kind of pop up out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, whoa, okay. So, I mean, it is possible that the Mariners are going to be interested in Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta. And we just don't know it yet. But there hasn't been a lot of talk connecting them, or really anybody. So it's kind of tough to sit here and say, you know, hey, that's the guy that they're going to go after and get. But, you know, like you mentioned, there's only, I think Yu Darvish is the only top of the rotation guy. Arrieta could be Felix Hernandez, like just a big bust that you paid a lot of money for. Or he could be a really solid number two. We don't know. And the only other guys out there that would kind of be considered big names, and I say that almost jokingly, would be Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn.
Yeah, and even those guys, like, you're probably not going to even slot them in front of Felix. Like, if Felix comes back healthy, obviously, like, they're still only going to be threes hanging around the same sort of area as Mike Leake. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do and what magic Jerry's got, but he has to weave something. So,
And there's still a few guys for Jerry to trade. He's not going to get an ace for, you know, like you mentioned, Marco Gonzalez doesn't have any options left. He might be a guy that's interesting for a young team. Daniel Vogelbach doesn't make much sense. He's still around. Doesn't make much sense to have, you know, Ryan Healy and Daniel Vogelbach. You look at Andrew Moore. There's still some pieces. Braden Bishop, which I would be very sad if that happened, but, you know, he's a potential trade piece. There's still pieces for Jerry to trade, but I'm with you. I think he needs to really dive into the free agent market, and he needs to go after some guys. If he can't get Yu Darvish, I think he needs to get two of the Jaime Garcia, I would say Tyler Chatwood, but he signed. But he needs to get two guys in that kind of area.
Yeah.
And just have a rotation full of number threes and number fours. And then go out and get yourself two legit bullpen guys like Brian Shaw and Jake McGee, or, you know, pick two names, but two really good bullpen guys that you can count on. I think I'm with you. He needs to add at least two starters and at least two relievers.
Definitely. Yep. Right there with you.
And I guess the good news is for the Mariners is that offensively they're just about done. I mean, they added their first baseman. They've added their center fielder. Is there anywhere that you think maybe they could look to upgrade offensively, or do you think they're pretty much done there?
Yeah, no, I think they're pretty much done there. I like the look of the lineup. Looks really long. Whenever you're going to have Zanino batting at 8 or 9, who potentially, if he sort of stays in the same track as when he came back last year, hit 25 to 30 home runs and hitting 240. Like, I like the length of the lineup, especially adding D. Gordon in there. So I'd be surprised if he adds anything to the lineup and to the offense. I think it's from here on out, it's all about pitching.
Yeah. I guess the only play, maybe backup catcher, but I feel fine with Marjima being the backup, honestly. But, I mean, if you can get a veteran at a pretty good price, why not?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they're going to make any moves at the utility spot. Not that there's a lot out there. I think that they are going to – I think you're right. I think they're going to go with an 8-man bullpen, which means three bench guys, which is going to be your fourth outfielder, your utility guy, which I think is actually going to be D. Gordon, and your backup catcher. So, you know, and so I think you're right there. I don't think there's much to add. Maybe, you know, they were linked to John Jay. If they happen to trade Ben Gamel, John Jay makes some sense to sign to be your left fielder. Another on-base guy. He's a guy that you would hit ninth, and then you could have, you know, Jay hitting ninth, and then you flip it around to D. Gordon and Gene Segura or whatever. That's a pretty good trio right there to put in front of your big bats. But other than that, I just don't see them doing much on the offensive side. I think you'll see them be very aggressive in the international market now. Julio Pablo Martinez has kind of been my number two for a while now. I really hope they get him.
Yeah, I'm there with you, actually, with Martinez. I've seen his videos, and he'd be basically my number one that I'd really want at the moment after missing out on Otani.
Yep, I would agree with you there. So I think the Mariners are going to be very busy over these winter meetings. I don't know if they're going to materialize in actual deals, but I think you're going to see them talking to a lot of teams. They're going to be talking to a lot of free agents. I wouldn't be shocked if they added a piece or two. And I also wouldn't be shocked if Jerry had one more trade left in him. I think D. Gordon's going to be the quote-unquote big deal that the Mariners make this year. But I certainly think it's possible he makes another one. And I really hope it's Yu Darvish, personally. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see there. Do you have if you could pick any free agent to add to the Mariners, would it be Yu Darvish, or do you have somebody else in mind?
No, it's definitely Yu Darvish. At this point, it's, he's the guy I want.
Which means he's probably going to end up on the Angels. So,
yeah, probably.
So I guess that's going to do it here for us. Dan, do you have any final thoughts or any Anything you want to wrap up with before we go?
No, mate. I'm all good.
Awesome. So, hey, this just broke down on the wire. Chris Iannetta, former Mariner, is signing with the Rockies. So, good for you, Chris. But anyways, yeah. Guys, just keep in mind the season's not over because the Mariners didn't get Ohtani. They're actually still better than the Angels. They still have a lot of work to do to make the playoffs, but it's still definitely possible. So be bummed all you want, but it's not over yet. And remember, guys, Jerry DePoto's always got something up his sleeve. So be on the lookout. The winter meetings start Monday. It's a sad day for the Mariners, but it's also an exciting time to be a baseball fan. So from all of us here at SotoMojo.com, this is Colby Patnode signing off, and we'll see you guys in another life.